Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. I was at a party this last weekend talking to a friend. She's building a new home. She said, "The house I'm going to be building is small, and we're on a tight budget. So I assumed you wouldn't be interested in designing it." Left unsaid was the further thought, "I don't want to spend my tight budget on an architect." Well, I take exception to all three assumptions that are in this statement, and although I like her a lot. Okay, first assumption. The house is small. An architect is not interested in designing a small house, or perhaps in designing a not fancy house. Well, what she's talking about is a 1,500 to 2,000 square foot house. That's not small. That's a normal house, and the majority of what we architects design. And beyond that, it's architects, I'll get into it later in the show, we like small. It fits better with our psyche than great big. And, you know, architects tend ourselves, that's the size house that we tend to live in. And which means that we think about that size house and we do a lot of dreaming about that size house, 1,500, 2,000 square feet. To use an analogy, a lot of architects like small cars as well. And some of us are Prius drivers, although I'm not. But, you know, some architects are Prius drivers. We like small, well-engineered spaces that are very lean and functional. The other end of the spectrum are the architects, which is a big group, who like the small exotic cars. And, you know, we tend to overbuy things like Porsches and old Alfa Romeos. So, yeah, architects tend to fall into either the Prius or the Alfa Romeo category. But in either event, we like small. Now, the second assumption. She was saying that it was a not fancy house, not a fancy house. Architects design space. We make space work better, and we make it feel good. That's you know, that has little to do with how much it costs to build. Framing lumber, when you think about it, framing lumber and sheetrock are cheap. And a lot of what we do is with framing lumber and sheetrock. A lot of our magic is in the basic box of the house, how the rooms are laid out, how they're connected to each other, how tall the ceilings are, the volume of the space. These aren't things that cost money. They're things that just, if you think about them more, you get a better product. Now, other things do add up. I mean, the type of windows you use and the type of doors and how many windows and doors, these add to the cost. But when you look at what costs money in a house and what costs money in a small house, the real cost differentials are in the finishes. You can, you know, you take the same 1,500 square feet and you can pack it with high-end finishes. You can pack it with sub-zero refrigerators, with exotic wood floors and, you know, things like that, very expensive light fixtures. Or you can purchase everything off the shelf from Lowe's. And that decision has nothing to do with the architect pushing you one way or the other. It has to do with the how much money you want to spend on your house. I've done really great houses where everything is purchased off the shelf at Lowe's and nothing in the house costs more than if you just built the stock house. What do you get from a skilled designer? You know, an architect. Use the words designer and architect interchangeably, but as I've talked about before, the architect is much better trained and more experienced at design. So I think architects are better. What you get from a skilled designer is better spaces. You can also actually expect better efficiency of space. A skilled designer, an architect, can make 1,500 square feet feel as big as 2,000 square feet and live as well. I don't know, I can think of many houses I've gone into where they've done 2,000 square feet and it feels small and it feels closed in. Well, a good design can make it feel bigger and more open for the same money. An architect also can better solve how the house sits on the lot. And almost always can improve the looks of the house without additional money. And how the house sits on the lot, as I've talked about with stock plans, they're made for a generic, flat, tight lot. How the house sits on the lot really changes the feel of it. And also, sometimes saves you more money. And an architect can almost always improve the looks of a house just simply by small changes. Remember, in design, there are four things: rhythm, order, symmetry, and balance. An architect understands those and can look at the front of your house and understand where it's meeting those requirements and where it isn't. And such a simple thing as shifting a dormer, adjusting where the windows are, can make a house feel good or feel awkward. None of these things cost money. So, long way of saying, it's not a given that using an architect to design your small house will make you spend more money. It will almost always make you spend money more wisely. Then, okay, third. The third assumption is that the architect is going to cost a lot of money, or conversely, the architect won't be interested in your small house because there's not much money to be made. Well, how to answer that one? It's true that we will make more money, the architect will make more money on a big house than a small house. Proportionally, you tend to charge the same fees proportional to the size or the cost of the house. But, you know, that's only part of the story. And nobody goes into architecture expecting to get rich. We as a group, architects, we love what we do. And we believe, as a group, you go into architecture because you love what you do. And at the same time, we believe that we deserve to be reasonably paid for our time and expertise. In exchange for being paid for our time and expertise, the input of a design professional, an architect, can, and I'm absolutely certain of this, everything else being equal, the input of an experienced designer can greatly increase the outcome of your investment in your home. It's just like any other investment. The more skilled the person is who's investing, the more likely you are to make money, for it to be a winner. That's a long way of go about saying that, okay, an architect sells his services by the hour, and he wants to make between $80 and $120 an hour for his time or her time. Now, what could that mean? Well, it could mean that you've got a stock plan that you like and you pay an architect for a few hours' work, maybe 3-5 hours' work, $500, to look at the stock plans and suggest ways to improve them. A few little things can make the house much more livable, and $500 in the scheme of any house is nothing. Or the next step up, I've talked before about the idea of the semi-custom builder special home. For if you're talking about a 2,000 square foot house, for about $8,000, or 80 hours of work by the architect to pump out a builder special, meaning we don't get involved with negotiating the contract. We don't get involved with a lot of supervision of the house when it's under construction. But we do give you a set of drawings for your house that is somewhat unique to your house and totally custom fit to your lot and to the unique aspects of your life. Do that for $8,000. Again, in the scheme of things, if you're talking about a 2,000 square foot house, you're probably talking about $300,000, $400,000 construction cost. And $8,000 isn't much in that scheme. What you get, though, is something that's much more striking than the stock plan, and you get something that I absolutely guarantee when you go to sell it will be worth more or sell faster or both. Now, this is even more true, or even the next step up from that. What I'm doing here is just giving you an idea of not, oh, this big cloud of what will an architect cost. But here's specifics. Here's what an architect actually does cost. And, you know, you can go to $500. You can go to $8,000. Or you can actually get a true, striking custom home of 2,000 square feet with full architectural services. And you're probably in the neighborhood of $20,000, about 5% of the cost of the construction. And now you look at that and you say, $20,000 is a lot of money. Think of the Sub-Zero refrigerator I could buy for that. And actually, you could buy the Sub-Zero refrigerator and the Wolf stove for that. But if you put it in an uninteresting box, you know, I don't think you've spent money wisely. Now, what do you get for your 5%? Well, turn it around. One of the services an architect does is provides a full set of plans, a full set of documents that you can put out and get competitively priced by 3, 4, or 5 contractors. The difference in what you will pay for the house, competitively pricing it, is more than the architect's fees. So for the same money, you get not only a custom home that really is better in so many ways, for the same money, simply by involving the architect in competitively pricing the home. In fact, for the same contractor, almost always the same contractor will be 5% cheaper if he's put in a competitive pricing situation. And it's not so much just taking the money from the contractor, but it's getting him to talk to his subcontractors and to sharpen their pencil and give you their best price. So the real cost and the real opportunity, the real cost of a small house is in the construction, and the real opportunity to save is also in the construction. And part of that can be offset by more expertise on the front end in the design. Okay, more about your small house after we come back from break.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about.
Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay, let's talk about what a small home cost. Now, if you really want a small, low-cost house, and you know, all you can spend is $200,000, well, if that's the case, the best path is to buy a production house from a large volume builder. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it, but the large production builders have engineered all of the cost down to the lowest dollar, and they really provide you, it's like going to Walmart, and I'm being pejorative, but you get a decent product at the lowest possible cost. And the same thing holds true for small production houses. And when you think about it, they're producing a product or a widget. They've looked at every single cost. They've looked at every material and what is the least costly material they can use to achieve their end. You know, they've looked at, i.e., if they can use 3/8 inch plywood siding or underlayment, they'll use that rather than half inch or 5/8 inch. Every single product is engineered down to the least cost material. Also, they build the same house over and over again with an emphasis on speed of production over quality. So their labor costs are much lower. I was talking to a production builder last night, and he was talking about houses being framed. He was saying that the cost of labor has gone up a bit, and they're paying $5 a square foot for the framing on these small production houses. Well, $5 a square foot for framing is half where you start. Normally, you start at $9 to $10 a square foot on the framing of a custom home or of any home that isn't a production knockoff. So that gives you an idea if your net need is just to get into the most best space you can for the least money, you buy from one of the big production guys. However, if you're building your home on your lot, then, in other words, even if you're building a stock home plan, it's not a production house, and you're not engineering, the builder hasn't engineered every single item down to the least it can be. Every item is decent, and every item is the same, whether it goes into a well-designed home or a stock plan home. If you're building your house on your lot, then there really can be no difference in the cost of building the stock plan house, kind of the boring middle-of-the-road medium thing, or building a custom architect-designed home. Think about it. If you use the same quality of materials and the same quantity of materials, they will cost the same thing. Hardy board siding, fiber cement siding, which is really a great material, costs the same whether it goes on the stock house or whether it goes on a custom house. 25-year shingles cost the same thing, whether they go on the stock house or they go on the custom house. So there's nothing about the materials that has to increase the cost of the house. If you use the same level of detail on the home, they will cost the same. If on your stock house or your custom home, you use a standard soffit detail, it will cost the same thing. If you use a standard front porch detail, it will cost the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it's a custom home or whether, you know, it's a builder stock plan. If you select the same finishes, they will cost the same thing. Carpet, you know, the carpet and the tile don't change cost because you're going into putting it in a better designed home. And often in these small homes, more production, they use a $20,000 kitchen package. That's cabinets, countertops, and appliances. $20,000. If you use the same $20,000 kitchen package in your custom designed home, it will cost the same thing. So it's logical that the custom designed small home could cost you no more to build than the stock plan. And, you know, the caveat to that is that you've got to get the builders on the same mind track. You've got to get the builder thinking, this is no different for me than the stock plan, and so I'm not going to charge more money to do it. That's one key, is that, you know, you've got to get the builder, and competitive pricing helps put them in the right frame of mind. But, okay, if it is your goal to spend no more money than what you would on the stock house, then you have to set those conditions at the start of the design and follow them all the way through. I've done it. I've designed some really striking homes using the same basic geometry, the same materials in the same ways as the stock houses, and they cost the same as the boring stock house. Only they live better, they look better, and they resell for more money. Last week or the week before, I talked about, it's a bigger house, a 5,000 square foot house I just designed and was built. And it was designed and built for $140 a square foot. This is a striking contemporary home. And it was built for less money than the McMansion on the same street. You can do it. I did a 4,000 square foot house where we went into it saying, the idea is we want to get as much house for as little money as possible. We used a basic geometry. We played a lot with framing details and moving ceilings up and down. Don't cost money. And same materials, same, used in the same way. Came out with a really neat house, and it cost the same or actually slightly less than if they'd built the stock McMansion. Only, as I say, they look better, they live better, and they resell for more money. Here's the real tendency when you get into the stock, you know, get into a custom home. The real tendency is when designing a custom home is you want to upgrade things that you put into it. You want a raised ceiling with detailed beams. You know, once you start thinking about your home, you can come up with so many ways to improve it. And frankly, so many ways to spend more money. That's just called understanding what your budget is and living within it. And yeah, understanding what your budget is and living within it. And choosing where you want to spend money if you want to spend more money. Quite often when you do a custom home, rather than the $20,000 kitchen package, you upgrade to, say, a $35,000 kitchen package. Well, this is a choice. And all things being equal, if you have the money, yes, you do that. And then it looks like your custom designed small house costs more money. It does cost more money because you're putting nicer things into it, not because it was designed better. You know, you also tend to, when you start thinking about the details of the house, to pick out a nicer tile, a higher level of tile, maybe better shower heads. One of the big things with a custom designed home is more windows. The production houses, the stock home plans, are meant to be built by production builders, and often they will cut out windows and give you as few windows as they can without your noticing. Well, in the custom design home, more windows are great. Okay, we come back from break, and you know, I'll try and get off this browbeating on cost. Come back from break.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a homeowner who's trying to save on energy bills and go green at the same time? Tune into Energy Saving in the Home, brought to you by 521 Compressor Saver and Home Energy Consultants, with host Gary Parr and Dennis Seltzer. They have saved homeowners just like you as much as 65% on energy bills through energy efficiency practices. You'll learn about conservation, products, and services to reduce energy consumption and save you money. Be sure to listen to Energy Saving in the Home, live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay, I won't get off cost quite yet. What does actually cost more about a custom designed home rather than a stock plan? And a small custom home. Well, if the house is designed, you know, custom design, it tends to include some fancier framing and more involved framing that requires the contractor and the framer to think more than they would knocking out a house that looks like houses they built, you know, 100 times before. So you will do expect to pay a few dollars more for your framing labor on the custom home. And but a few dollars more, if you're talking about $5 a square foot more, that's on a house that's costing you $140, $150 a square foot. You know, that's not a big difference for something that's more interesting. The other thing that you almost always get on a custom designed small home is you get a signature element. There's something added to the house, whether it be a special round window that's a signature element, or maybe a bay of glass that you wouldn't see on that stock plan. Little or big signals that anyone looking at the house gets it that this is custom, which, by the way, also means gets it that they should pay more if they're buying it in resale. So could be that. It could be a striking fireplace. The thing with the custom home, especially the little custom home, is the whimsicalness. There often is a little element of fun or play in it that does cost a bit more money, but as I say, makes it special and really makes it more valuable. So enough of cost. I claim architects really like small houses. Okay. Several years back, an architect, Sarah Susanka, wrote a book, The Not So Big House. That book was a major seller and got a lot of publicity. It brought out in the open things that architects have been thinking for years. And it's actually spawned a whole bunch of spinoffs, The Not So Big Backyard, The Not So Big Life. She's gone from being an architect to being an author on this idea. Well, architects were thinking about this long before that, and long before that, architects were in love with small houses. We tend as a group to be more, to be less is more people. We tend to like simple spaces, clean lines, and to, you know, not like clutter and not like ornate. And big homes, you know, yes, we do design a lot of big homes, but big homes often hide the bones of the house in layers of decoration and just sheer space. We like to see the bones. We like to see the elements, the true elements of a house. And those really come out on a small house. Also, we architects, we're dreamers and we're storybook people. You know, our minds look at the little cottage in the woods, the simple cabin, the basic urban loft. We like tree houses. We like motorhomes. When I was just out of college, I lived in Cape Canaveral and I dreamed of living on a sailboat. And just imagine all of the little spaces and what a beautiful, simplistic life that was. This is how architects think. When you look at movies, the architect, if you remember Sleepless in Seattle, in that movie, the man was an architect, and he lived on a houseboat. What a neat place to live. This is how architects think. There was another movie, The Lake House. The Lake House a couple of years ago. And an architect. He lived in a little house that was almost all glass on stilts set out over the water in this lake. We really like this kind of thing. When you look at it, big houses pay the bills. If you're designing 5,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet, you're going to generate a lot more billing. And that's good. But like I've said, architects, for the most part, are not in this business just to make money. To make a living, yes. But we're in it because this is what we love to do. And little houses are candy to us. And the chance to create living art, they're sweet, they get a lot of design, the sweetness of design, without the effort of a very long, drawn-out construction process and, you know, sticking around for years. So they're like candy. When you look at design awards, architectural design awards, there's a disproportionate number of little houses in them. It's really amazing how hard it is to get a big house into a design awards competition and how easy it is to get a little one. The big ones are much more complex and spread out, there's just more to them. And what wins design awards are big impact ideas. Simplistic, big impact. You can do that with the little house. You can't do it with the big house. So they win awards. And as I look at it, and I look at some architects you may know, Richard Meyer designed the expansion to the Getty Museum. That was probably the premier design project in California in the last decade. Richard Meyer got his start. He was first published doing a small, overly simplistic house for his mother. That was how he got started. You look at Frank Gehry. Frank Gehry did the Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao. He's one of the top architects in the world now. He got started. He was first published for a stripped down little house in California that used bare wood studs and was wrapped in chain link fence. I personally thought it was ugly, but that's how he got recognition. It is a big idea in a small space. Peter Bolin in 2010 won the AIA Award, Gold Award, the highest achievement you can get in architecture in the United States. And his firm has also won the AIA Firm Gold Award. He helped design Bill Gates' house up in Washington State. He designed the Apple stores, you know, the iconic glass box Apple store in New York City. Well, he first came onto the scene for designing two of the most wonderful storybook little houses. And one of them was this, it looked like it was from Hansel and Gretel, this little cottage, three-story cottage in the woods. And another one looked like the perfect place to sit on a rainy day and look out at the woods from your big walls of windows in this little house. That's how it got started. So you can see how this appeals to architects. And Peter Bowley is really interesting. Even today, as famous as he is and doing the big work that he does, he still occasionally will do a little cabin in the woods, 600 square feet. And understand that, you know, this person had talked about 1,500 to 2,000 square feet as a small house. That's a real house in genuine size. Below that are the fun houses under 1,000 square feet. Architects really have fun with those. And even below that is what is the folly, the little house, you know, only 200, 300 square feet. These things are just candy to an architect. And talk more about it when we come back from break, and one of the ones that's floating around in my head.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
It's all about action.
Touchdown!
Scores.
Taking a look at the NBA tonight.
Highlights.
Oh, he's broken loose. He's at the 30.
And headlines.
Big trade in the NFL this afternoon.
When you are looking to talk sports, look no further than the Voice America Sports Network. We bring you some of the biggest names and all the sports news you can handle. Whether it's basketball.
Off the glass.
Football.
Come on.
Golf. Racing. Or the Olympics. We've got you covered. We'll even cover tailgating. Tune in to the Voice America Sports Network. It's all things sports.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
You know, in poetry, there's a Japanese form called haiku. It's the most pure form of poetry. It has three lines. First line is five syllables. Second line, seven syllables. Third line, five syllables. And you're supposed to get your message across in 17 syllables on three lines. It's a jewel, a little jewel of a poem. Well, these follies that I mentioned, these little tiny architectural pieces, are that same kind of jewel to an architect. And they can be all sorts of things. They could be an artist's studio or a writer's retreat. Could be a tiny guest house or a tower, or it could just be a tool shed. but they're meant to evoke a strong visceral reaction in a very small building. And an architect almost pays you to be able to do that sort of thing. If you're willing to spend the money to build it, they're willing to really discount their services to design it, because this is the fun part. And talked about, I have a few more minutes left. I was out looking at a house recently that was for sale, and the realtor and I were putting together a three-part package. It was a 1,500 square foot just worker house in the historic district. And we talked about what you could do for $40,000 to this house, basically replacing, adding bathrooms and replacing the kitchen and painting. What you could do for $150,000, which is to rearrange the space within there and make it everything a contemporary home should be within, you know, this 1950s brick box. And the $400,000 model, using that as service and guest spaces and building behind it in this great backyard, really exciting architectural spaces. So that's neat, and that's a service architects like to do, love to do. But in the backyard was an old service building, and that just set off all sorts of these bells ringing in my mind. It was just this darling little two-story, simple 12 by 30 box with a shed roof porch extending out the front, and one piece, one-third of the shed roof porch had been enclosed as space. It just, wow, is that a characteristic, beautiful little vernacular piece of, you know, vernacular building. And my mind has just been playing with it ever since. How would I take that look, that little, you know, old service building that was built back in 1900, and make it into the coolest house? And I can just see it, and what you could play with on the inside. The whole thing is probably 500 square feet on the footprint. This is the thing. I could actually make a great house in there. And I would add one more little piece for the master bedroom. But for 1,000 square feet, get this really cool little house. And, having a hard time figuring out how to describe it even. But this is what architects dream of, are these cool little spaces. And imagine, you know, not the great big house, but even with the great big house, breaking it up into a bunch of cool little houses. And when you come to visit, you don't get the guest room up on the second floor, but you get, you know, the little cottage out there that looks like it's straight out of Winnie the Pooh or Cinderella or whatever. And yeah, I think of this, and just a little shed, and you'd want it to look like this little shed. So it actually had metal siding on it, had a metal roof, you know, the standing seam, very inexpensive barn roof material. And what a cool house that would be, with two little bedrooms upstairs, tucked under the eaves and a bath, open space below. You want a really signature fireplace. Although, or possibly a wood stove because this is so small, and some natural wood, you know, exposed natural wood, exposed beams. This is the sort of thing architects dream of. And, you know, every time I see somebody build a very normal, standard, really small house, it's like, boy, that was an opportunity lost. I could have spent the same money. I could have used the same materials in the same way and given you wow. And giving you something that is really different from your friends and lives so much better and so much bigger. A push here and a push there. I think I'm rambling. You know, if you go to my website, Stephen Clip Architecture, there's a house on there, the Colrick residence. And it's a small, low country cottage, 1950 square feet. This is the other end of the spectrum for this small house. It could only be 1950 square feet, but it's incredible. And you walk in there, the spaces live, the main space lives the same as in that 5,000 square foot house. You can do this. You don't have a bunch of secondary spaces, but you can have your main spaces be really wow. And that was not a cheap house, though. It could be. That house could have been built for half what it was built for. But at every stage in that, it sits on a $1 million lot. At every stage, you know, they upgraded and picked the more expensive object. The doors are custom. All of the trim is custom. Has a huge amount of windows. But every piece is custom. All of the floors are really beautiful cherry. The fireplace is incredible. To build a big fireplace in a small space really gives impact. So that sort of thing. That house has a steel structure because we have a hidden roof deck with a hot tub on it and a little tower room that gives you these terrific views out over the water. So you can, yes, you can spend a fortune on the little house, or you can spend almost nothing on the little house. But you can have big ideas with almost nothing. And it'll be worth more money when you sell it. And good night, and I see you again next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Clip, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.